Hello again, it's Patrick Kelly with Airtime, the official podcast of the Olympic Styles of USA Wrestling Kansas. Most probably don't recognize the efforts it takes to put a team on the mat in Fargo. Behind the scenes, the preparation takes place over the course of many months at board meetings, working with membership databases, sanctioning and putting on events, implementing programs, complying with guidelines set by USA Wrestling, and putting out a fire or two that are part of an organization with nearly 10,000 members. USA Wrestling Kansas is fortunate to have an experienced and competent leader in Hutchison's Mike Juby. With 23 years serving as executive director of USA Wrestling Kansas, Mike has seen a lot in his time. His level-headed, cerebral approach has manifested itself in Kansas being a player on the national stage. He is responsible for engineering the organization with all of its moving parts. Mike's leadership has attracted national respect. He was named USA Wrestling State Chairperson of the Year in 2004 and Junior Division Person of the Year in 2008. He was selected to be an official member of the U.S. delegation to the 2007 World Championships in Baku, Azerbaijan. And what an honor that must have been, as the U.S. won its first and only World Championship that year in Greco. If his role within the USA Wrestling Kansas organization isn't enough, Juby also serves as head coach at Buehler High School since the 2012-13 season. It's an honor to have the chance to touch base with Mike as the final preparations for Fargo 2017 are underway. Mr. Juby, welcome to Airtime.
Thanks, Pat. Great to be here.
All right, tell us how you got your start in wrestling and take us through your timeline to today.
I actually got started fairly late in wrestling. I had never been exposed to it until when I was in eighth grade and was messing around with some friends of mine who were out for wrestling at the time, and they convinced me that I should try it. So the next year, as a freshman, I went out. So I had 4 years of actual wrestling. I started late, but I immediately fell in love with the sport. I enjoyed football. I enjoyed track. Those were my other two sports, but wrestling, it had a special draw to it that I wish I would have started earlier, but I really enjoyed the 4 years I had with it. But after high school, I ended up going to Emporia State, which doesn't have wrestling, and really hadn't thought much about it until my oldest son turned six and brought home a flyer for a wrestling club, and we talked about it, and he decided he wanted to try it. So I started taking him to practice, and then I started helping out with the coaching, and it just kind of kept growing from there. My plan from the beginning, my plan was to put my focus on the coaching and becoming a better coach. I knew I still had a lot of skills that I needed to learn, so I was hitting a lot of the clinics. I was getting involved in a lot of things where I could become a better coach. The position that I hold in the organization was really more from being pulled along by individuals, three in particular. Dick Becker was he got me involved with the running the local club, and then talked me into becoming a district director. Dick was a great guy, really involved. He pulled some of our earliest Southern Plains Junior events into the state and was heavily involved. And then the next level, Bob Carnes had kind of pulled me up that next step, talked me into becoming more involved at the state level. And then ultimately Chuck Elvin finished pulling and got me up involved at the national level.
Okay, and those are certainly some big names, not only in Kansas but nationally.
They are. They were all three of them just fantastic individuals. I'm sorry that the three of them aren't involved. Two of them have passed, and of course, Chuck's had an awful lot of tragedy and health issues that have come his way that have pulled him away. But when they were involved, they were certainly forces and left some big shoes to fill, but some broad shoulders to climb up on.
So you are a CPA in your professional life. How has that training helped in your position as chairman of USA Wrestling Kansas?
And I would say that's probably the reason that I was being encouraged by those three individuals and a few others to get more involved with the organization was I think more because of at that time back in 1988 when I got back involved with the coaching, I had an awful lot still to learn about the sport. So it certainly wasn't my coaching at that point that was attracting attention. I think the organizational skills, that I had to learn as part of becoming a CPA and the structural discipline that I was able to bring along with me in working in the sport, I think has, at, those have been the attributes that have benefited me and the organization the most as I've gotten more involved in the leadership positions. There are an awful lot of people that are real passionate about the sport. Not all of them have the background and the training to be able to run a large organization well, and I think that's where some of that training has benefited me and hopefully let me improve the sport a little bit and make those opportunities available to the kids and those that want to partake.
Your better half, Kathy, is really a two-for-one situation for the organization. She puts a lot of time and effort into maintaining paperwork and keeping things organized. What has she meant to the USAWKS over the years?
Absolutely. She, in fact, Kathy's more the face of the organization for, especially within our state, I think, than I am. She makes herself available almost 24/7. I don't think there's any time, any place we go where she's not responding to something or dealing with some kind of a wrestling issue. I'm not nearly as available, so people that maybe are trying to contact me find out very quickly that if they really want to get something done, they need to get a hold of Kathy, and she'll be the one that will figure out, and she'll either help them out with their problems and give them some guidance, or she knows where to go to get answers for it. So whether it's a club director, an event manager, or just individual members, she's the go-to one. If it wasn't for her, I don't know that I could do what I do. I really do appreciate her.
So you have put thousands of miles on your car heading north to Fargo. How many trips have you made to the state that the U.S. Office of Tourism lists as the least visited in our union?
It's a great state. I started going in 1998. Actually went up with Chuck and Sherry Elvin. They convinced me that Chuck had convinced me, talked me into taking over as state chairman from him. And one of the things he said, if you don't do anything else, you have to go to Fargo. And so they loaded me up in their car and drove me up there. And so I've been back there every year since. So this year will be my 20th year.
Well, I do apologize for that knock on North Dakota. It might take the right mindset, but it really is a peaceful drive with the wide open landscapes. Fargo is a special place to the wrestling community in the United States. Just the mention of the word Fargo conjures up epic battles and breakthrough performances. But for you, the trip isn't exactly a vacation. You have a full agenda of meetings in addition to the responsibilities of being the head of the Kansas delegation. Describe what your 2 weeks in Fargo is like each year.
Yeah, there, Fargo, beyond being the junior and cadet national championships, which is a huge deal and makes it the premier spot for high school wrestling, really in the nation. But along with that, it also serves as USA Wrestling's national convention. So there are a number of things beyond the wrestling. The wrestling up there is just phenomenal, and it's what keeps drawing me back up there. I would have to go anyway if it wasn't for the meetings, but I wouldn't be nearly as excited and enthused about it if it wasn't for the wrestling. And frankly, I think if it wasn't for the wrestling, they wouldn't try putting everything else up there, because they know with the wrestling that's going on in Fargo, if you love wrestling, it's a place that you really don't want to miss out on. So if they've got that hook that pulls all these people up to Fargo, and then they take advantage of it by saying, hey, while we've got all these wrestling fans and wrestling supporters and wrestling leaders up here, let's take advantage of it by holding, in some cases, an inordinately large number of meetings. It kind of starts wearing down on you after a while, trying to cover all the meetings. And in my case, I get a lot of support from our staff by having some of our coaches, some of our team leaders will fill in at some of the meetings for our state and help me out there. But the meetings are designed to kind of help guide the direction of USA Wrestling. So whether you're a coach, an official, whether your focus is on the kids, whether your focus is on high school wrestlers, whether your focus is on university wrestlers, whether your focus is on coaches, there are meetings up there that are designed to try to find out what needs to be done to make this sport better for your constituent, and where, how can we get those things done? So we've got those multiple meetings. It's also a great place to catch people to do some things that maybe are difficult to do over a phone call or through emails or texting. You get to go face to face. So as an example, this year up at Fargo, one of the things that I have on my list of to-dos, USA Wrestling is rolling out a new membership website next year. They tried doing it a couple of years ago, and it bombed pretty heavily. I know some details about this, but I have some concerns because of what happened with the last membership website and wanting to be prepared for what's coming. So one of the things that I'm intending to do, and I've already made arrangements, is I'm going to sit down with the developer of this new membership website while we're in Fargo, because he's going to be up there as well. And I'm going to spend a couple of hours with him learning more about this new website. So those are the kind of things that aren't really available hardly any other time, and Fargo's the perfect time to do it.
Good. A lot going on those couple weeks there. From current USA Wrestling president Bruce Bumgardner, who is also consequently the most decorated wrestler in U.S. history with 13 world and Olympic medals, to executive director Rich Bender, to the late Jeff Blatnick, longtime public address announcer Sandy Stevens, along with the various members of state delegations, you are simply Mike. I'm not sure there are many in the tight-knit wrestling community that don't know you. As you stroll from the Fargo Dome to the dorm to the dining hall, you are frequently stopped for small talk or for a friendly nod or hello. Give us a sense of the camaraderie that surrounds the sport, and specifically Fargo, each July.
Well, it's pretty amazing, actually, when you look at how hard we compete against each other in this sport. And, you know, when we step out on the mat and when we send our athletes out on the mat, it's, you know, pin the ears back and you go after that other, that competitor, and there's no holds barred. I think in large part because of the intensity of the competition, when we're not competing, I think some of the strongest bonds, some of the strongest friends that I've ever seen are those that were formed through their ties in wrestling. It's a big part of why I have stayed involved in the sport as long as I have. I said I started because my oldest son wanted to wrestle, and all three ended up wrestling, but they've all three grown. They're all now out of the house and are well past their wrestling ages, and I've continued on in part because of the bonds I've formed with the wrestlers that I've coached, and hopefully since 1988 I've learned enough to become a better coach and have helped them become better wrestlers, but also the bonds that I've formed with the people across the state and across the nation. There aren't that many sports where you can walk up and be on a first name basis with, you know, Olympic gold medalists, with world champions, and they are very, very human, very personable. They again are just fans of the sport, love it, and so whether it's whether it's Bruce Baumgartner and Les Gutches, or it's Lewis Rossbottom, the state chair from Indiana, or a club director or a coach from Kansas. We all speak a common language, and it's great getting together and getting to talk to him, getting to see him, and it's a fun time.
Very well said. In looking at our list of Kansas All-Americans in the past, it's really an impressive list and just fun to reminisce on the history. You've seen your share of special moments from Team Kansas over the years. What would your top five or top ten list look like of Fargo moments from Team Kansas?
Oh, wow, that's tough. To start with, and I think probably in part because I was new to Fargo at the time, but two things that really have stuck with me over the years that I have very, very fond memories of. My first year up there, when I went along with Chuck and Sherry Elvin, we had only our second ever junior freestyle outstanding wrestler. Our first had been Eric Aiken, and I'm sure everybody knows Eric, national team member, and just an outstanding wrestler for Kansas. In 1998, I get to watch Zach Roberson when he won the outstanding wrestler up there, and like I said, only the second one we've ever had, and unfortunately, we haven't had one since '98. I hope maybe this will be the year that we pick that up. But when you think about the quality of the kids coming from 50 states, going up, and these junior freestyle wrestlers, they're all deep brackets. Just managing to win a bracket is a phenomenal feat, and then to be identified as the outstanding wrestler, that was a high point for me, and it was kind of followed up and even eclipsed the next year when, and again, this was the only time that I've gotten to see this since I've been going to Fargo, but in 1999, Zach Roberson again and his close friend Zach Allen ended up in the junior freestyle finals. So we had an all-Kansas final up on the race platform, which is a really neat deal at Fargo. It's on the 50-yard line. They've got it elevated. All of the lights are on it, and all of the attention is on it. It's a big deal, and to see an all-Kansas showing out there, I would say that moved probably to my number one. I'll give you a third one, because the third one I think eclipsed even those two, and that's more recently, a couple years ago. Our cadet Greco-Roman team ended up placing second in the nation for a state, a small population state like Kansas, going up against states that are much, much bigger and states that have deep wrestling traditions like Pennsylvania, like Iowa, like Illinois. For us to be able to come out second in the nation, and I can tell you, it surprised an awful lot of people that weren't really looking for us. We know we've got some strong wrestling in our state. We weren't really noticed that much until that point, and that caught a lot of the people's attention. And I, at this point now, I'd say that's now my number one, that cadet Greco-Roman team.
We have a good group going to nationals this year, as is the norm. Even with several heavy hitters absent due to college commitments, we should compete well. We are always looking for more participation from the less credentialed athletes, as well as from the more accomplished wrestlers who shy away. What is your elevator speech for getting more involvement in Fargo and other Olympic-style opportunities during the off-season?
And I push this. I've heard others that have pushed it. I'm going to refer back to another wrestling leader in our state that has passed away, in kind of describing what I try to get across. Greg Grader was heavily involved in wrestling for years. He was a kids director for several years. He was our state tournament director for the majority of the years that we had a kids state tournament. Coached all through those years, and was just a mainstay, and was not a strong supporter of freestyle and Greco-Roman wrestling. He loved folk style wrestling, and I do too. And I think there are very few people who didn't start with a love of folk style wrestling first. But that was his focus. That's where he stayed. When his youngest, second to youngest son, Danny Grader, got up to being around cadet age, maybe a little earlier, Danny was very passionate about his wrestling, and Greg started getting him involved in freestyle and Greco just to satisfy Danny's longing to have more experience. By the time Danny was done, and actually in the last couple of years that he was in high school, Greg had done a 180. This is somebody that knew wrestling, who thought he knew what was best for his wrestlers. During the summer, he worked them in folk style because that was what they competed during the season, and he wanted them to be better folk style wrestlers. Greg publicly would tell anybody that would listen to him that he was wrong, that a huge amount of Danny's improvement in those final years, and Danny had an outstanding high school career and a pretty good college career after that, came about because of the benefits he got from wrestling freestyle and Greco, and he became one of the biggest supporters we had of freestyle and Greco. So I can tell wrestlers and coaches and parents until I turn blue in the face that if you want to become a better wrestler, you need to be involved in freestyle and Greco. But I think I'll let Greg's words speak from the past and say that for me.
Well, on behalf of the Kansas wrestling community, I want to thank you for all you do and wish the guys the best as they compete in the 2017 Cadet and Junior Nationals.
Thanks, Pat. I'm really looking forward to it. It'd be great to see you up there, too.
This has been Patrick Kelly with Airtime, the official podcast of the Olympic Styles of USA Wrestling Kansas. Until next time, thanks for listening.